Good evening, Patriots. And it's Friday evening. And I've got great news for you. Our country is still being run by a hand puppet. Apparently a hand puppet with a mask, which is kind of an odd thing. And we still have a slut as a vice president. And we still have Jim Hansen running the government. So everything else, status quo. No problem. Just another day in America. But we also know that there's one thing you can be guaranteed. In this time of chaos, you need to buy yourself a MyPillow, because there you can find yourself a luxurious sleep and you can cuddle in and let the world fall apart and know that you're comforted by a wonderful MyPillow with a pair of comfy My Slippers. That's right, Patriots. Just as the world is falling apart, you know where you can find comfort. And where is that? No other than Mike Lindell's fantastic products by MyPillow. And you can get special discounts on those from with the Bards code BARDS. You go to MyPillow.com, type in BARDS. When you go to checkout, you get all sorts of cool discounts. 40% off of My Slippers, 66% off of MyPillows. You can even call an 800 number, 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. They are not counselors, so if you're having a crisis with the current events, please don't call them and complain. Instead, you need to call them and say, I want to feel good by owning a MyPillow. So that's what you do. You go over there and you call them, and you get a MyPillow, and you get some My Slippers, and then you tell them where you heard about them, and you say, I heard about you from the best, greatest, and most fantastic internet program on the web. And what is that? Well, you guessed it. That's right. It's Bards FM. And guess what? Bards FM, take away the FM, Bards, B-A-R-D-S, that's the promo code. And you can use that on MyPillow.com and get all sorts of great savings. And we're going to support America's greatest CEO, America's greatest company. And when things can continue to fall apart, you can just hug your pillow and know that it's all going to be good in the morning. That's just the idea. So grab yourself some MyPillow stuff and be a patriot. All right, Patriots. I have a little announcement to make tonight, kind of a little bit of announcement, like a big announcement. And so I think this announcement calls for some shofars. Stand by, because we just hit 12 million downloads. Here goes the shofars. Here it goes. Play more shofars. We're going to crack the sky right open, bring God right down on top of this evil. But anyway, 12 million downloads today. Isn't that awesome? That is huge. So thank you very much. And thank you all for just being a great part of the BDAD Bards family. Hope you all have some My Slippers to celebrate. Just cuddle up here with your My Pillow and listen to some great stories about, well, I don't know yet. We'll figure out if it's going to be a great story, but you might need your pillow by the time we're through with the night. Who knows? But that's okay. So thank you very much. So fantastic. Do you know that, here's the thing, Patriots, you talk about a God thing, and I truly mean this. I checked my receipts the other day. I opened this account. So we were not on, I was not on Bards FM. It was actually Bards of War then. Bards FM was not on Apple, Google. It wasn't on Amazon. It wasn't on iHeart. Well, we were on Spotify until Spotify removed us, because apparently they don't like the truth of the doctors. So they've removed us twice. So just so I tell you, if you're on Spotify, I would get off of Spotify. They suck. But that's another thing. But anyway, so we weren't on any of those. And we were new to Podbean on 16 March of 2020. Now, I want you to hear this. 16 March of 2020. On November 3rd of 2020, eve of the election, we had 100,000 downloads on this account, and that was a big deal. Today, we have 12 million downloads. That's 7 months after the election, we have 12 million downloads. Patriots, that's a God thing. I haven't marketed this account other than just let God carry it, and that's fantastic. So thank you. Let's continue to share it. Let's continue to build it. Because this is going to be the home of the greatest podcast, the greatest festival, the greatest awakening, and Bear, our Ahmad, listens to Spotify. Ugh. All right, Bear, we'll forgive you. But that's all right. But anyway, It is a great thing to accomplish, a great accomplishment, and thank you so much. So let's keep it rolling. All right, so tonight's show is a little bit open-ended, and it's intended to be, and a little bit playing on words, too. The fall. And Bear says he's got a Bard's playlist on Spotify, and so Bear needs to find out if we've been erased from Spotify, because last time I checked, we were erased again from Spotify. Maybe they put us back up. Anyway, the deal is that we're heading into what is going to be, as the Patriots like to say, a very hot summer. Lots of things are happening if you're paying attention, and lots of things are falling apart. And part of that is we have to stay centered on all of this, all right? It's going to be a tendency to want to run off the rails, run out the rabbit holes, run off the edge, and we can't. Our role here is to stay very centered with God and our relationship with God on all things. And it's going to become increasingly important. I don't know what's coming, but I can tell you something big is coming, because there seems to be this increased rush and panic to poison and kill half the population with this bioweapon. And at the same time, more and more truth is coming out. And they can't seem to stop the truth, but they are also trying to push this injection. From the reports we're getting, it's as bad as we thought. And they already have done the autopsy on the first victim, and it was horrible. They found that the mRNA that was put into that injection spread through every cell in the body. And it caused a mass immune response, which collapsed everything and basically destroyed all the organs from the inside. And that, by the way, is an article that was done and sent to me by Dr. Tenpenny. You know that Dr. Tenpenny is a major threat, because they have launched all sorts of attacks on her. Washington Post, the turds from UK, they've taken her off Instagram, they've taken her off Facebook. And then today they removed the frontline doctors. So you can see where this is going. They're panicking. And they're panicking because they know that the truth is getting out. They can't stop it. And tonight I was sent a video. I don't even know how to describe this video. It's an experience. It's called Vaccinate. And it's a Harvey Milk Day performance. And it's the musical PSA from the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus reminding you to vaccinate. Now, I'll let you go to YouTube and find that. It's called Vaccinate, and it's by the SFGMC-TV. But I'm just going to read some of the comments and let you discern for yourself how well received this is. First one up, what a joke, lambs running to their own slaughter. Next, leftist homosexuals praising a depopulation jab. Can things get any more dystopian? Next, honestly, this is bizarro, like some kind of cult. Next, Nibba, you a cult? Shaking my damn head, fam. And then we've got, well, the days of gay people being cutting edge have come to an abrupt halt with this video. We have... Man, Mike from Breaking Bad sure went downhill fast. So anyway, it just goes on. I think what we can see here is that the idea of the leftist being able to influence the narrative is rapidly falling apart. And their idea of getting everybody injected, which was their agenda. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if the people that are saying on the left that they are injected aren't, and they've been trying to get the right injected. That's what I think. And I think they're being forced to realize that there's a really bad thing that's happened. And that is that 95% of the Democrats have taken both jabs. And that's a stat, by the way. I didn't make that up. So we are into a very interesting time, which is going to lead to some big changes in our world. The fact of the matter is that our entire economic and political system is corrupted to the core. And if we're really going to reset this world, it has to completely collapse. And there's a lot of reasons for the need for that to collapse. Now, we've been hearing a lot about, you know, the sudden, like August, and it's going to be a hot month, and that's when things are going to happen. And maybe it will. I've heard July, but here's what I'm going to share with you, and it's called sentiment analysis. And it's basically what the sentiment is of the society and where they sit in relationship to critical factors that make, when you're working on counterinsurgencies, the critical factors are the things that make a difference between success or failure. When you look at sentiment analysis, you can get a real sense of where the public is emotionally. And it shows up in many places you don't even realize. Sentiment analysis tools do things like they dig into blogs. They have AIs that are pretty effective on this. It's more like machine learning stuff. And it looks at word trends. It looks at sentence structures. And it looks at the sorts of things that give an indication of where the public's thought is. And up to this point, sentiment analysis, my guess, up to about 2016, sentiment analysis was tracking very favorably for the left. They were in control. They were able to control the narrative. They were able to control the outcomes. Now, with this, there's something else that has happened, and that is that they have trained their artificial intelligence engines, their AIs, on those data sets. Now, this is important to get your head around, because AI is only as smart as the information you give it. AI is a series of algorithms that learn, and this idea of achieving singularity, I don't think, maybe in some dark lab they have, but in the main part of this, the main control is, the main control is that they are looking at influencing the public with all of their machines and all of their tools of influence, and the AIs continue to are part of that in predicting where they go next. But what has happened since 2016 is that the awakening has occurred, and people have been breaking literally from the accepted train of thought. They've been questioning, they've been using reason, they've been using memes, they've been talking in many different ways. And with this, the AIs are now not functioning correctly, okay? So the sentiment analysis initially was mapping out a pretty predictive outcome for the left. And that analysis for the left was that a series of steps had to occur. They were in control of the narrative. They could suppress the vote. And ultimately, even early on in 2016, I would argue that it probably looked very good that no matter what they needed to do, they could do exactly what they did in 2020 and pull off the coup. Had President Trump not won in 2016, to be very honest with you, they had it wrapped in the bag. There was no stopping what they were going to do, because people were too much in the matrix and people were living too much in this dystopian world of not questioning authority, which is still a problem, by the way. But I have no doubt right now that the good guys have taken control. That is very evident in many, many indicators across the board. We're looking at inside indicators of people leaving the market that shouldn't be. We're seeing figureheads that aren't there right now. I mean, all you have to do is go through a list of Hollywood stars and a list of key political actors, and they're not in the public eye. And if people doubt that, then, or question, think that that's a reasonable, not a reasonable statistic, then, or an indicator, a data point, then you have to ask yourself what would promote somebody not to be promoting policies of Joe Biden when, in fact, they now technically control the entire government. And the fact is, nothing would keep them from speaking. We should be hearing from Michael Obama. We should be hearing from Barack Obama. We should be hearing from the Clintons. We should be hearing more from Comey, Brennan, Clapper, Storzik, Page, I mean, all these people, we should be hearing a lot from them. And instead, we're not hearing anything from them. They're silent. Oh, except Joe Biden, if it's Joe Biden, the hand puppet. He tries to speak, but I don't know what he says. And even the slut, Kamala Harris, she's in and out in a very sketchy way. And probably sleeping her way around the world trying to build policy. But the fact is that when we go to Hollywood A-listers, that's a huge indicator. Because you'll notice you're not hearing from any of the A-listers that were so loud at the beginning of President Trump's term. Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, Madonna. We could go on to Ashley Judd, right? I mean, these are, I don't know if it was Ashley Judd. That might be the wrong one. I might retract that one. Anyway, we have got a number of people. Yeah, there's one, The Rock. That's another one. We just aren't hearing from them, and they aren't out in front. So where we are right now is a very strong indicator that something very significant has happened, because understanding Hollywood is understanding that these people do not survive unless their egos are fed. They can't. They can't exist this way. And to understand why is to get into this deeper rabbit hole, which we won't go into tonight, but it's other than just superficially, which is the principles of how they got there. They got to power early on by being MK-Ultra'd into that place of being programmed and abused and sexually abused and many other things, ritualistically accepted into things, doing some horrors that they can't even speak. Are unspeakable. And then as they ascended to power, to keep that energy up, they have to constantly consume that feeling of being loved. That's just unfortunately for them, it's the only thing left that's human in them, and they need to feel like they're being loved, which they're not. So we've also seen the fall of idol worship, and you'll notice how significant that's been, because one of the things that stars are contracted to do is to sell product. In order to sell product, they have to be out promoting their stuff all the time, and they have to have these followings, because they're not just selling product, they're selling influence, which is leading them to new places or leading the cabal to new elements of control. The entertainment and music have been two of the most important aspects of this cabal's engine to keep people brainwashed and inside the matrix. So when you look around right now and you notice that there's no new movies, well, there are some, but they're not coming out in theaters right now. When you go to, if you take a look and do some investigation into Paramount Pictures, you'll find that most of Paramount Pictures is shut down and has been for months. You'll find out that Disney Studios right now is in total chaos. And they're hemorrhaging people left and right. The whole industry is falling apart, and it's happening very quietly behind the scenes, and we're noticing it in different ways, because you're not seeing the figures up front. You're not seeing the big promotions of film. And they're coming up with excuses like, well, we're going to release film online to better address the needs of COVID. Well, that makes no sense, because these are massive budgets. And again, that's another part of the economics you always have to look at, which is these budgets are set up with hundreds of millions of dollars in debt, and they owe that debt to be paid back from investors. And yet, the only way to do that is to sell product, and it isn't selling like it was. Theater debuts are huge, a huge part of the process. So we've seen the entire left influence network erode, and it's actually very quiet right now with where we're sitting. We have continue to see the tech side of this try to influence speech, try to control, but it's nowhere near as, I guess we've become somewhat accustomed to it, and they're just moving along censoring people left and right. And yet when you read the comments like we just did, you're noticing that even though content is being kept up of their favorite types, like Harvey Milkday's performance of the gay men's chorus reminding us to vaccinate, which is like the dumbest video in the world, by the way. I just love their rainbow. You'll have to check it out, because they've got really nice rainbow pride rainbow proud shirts. It makes you feel good. So happy for them. But when you read the comments, you really start to get an indicator of just how fed up people are and how they're not buying the narrative anymore. Then there's the Weinstein brothers, which are out of New York, they were progressive leftists who have taken a position of anti-jab. And the anti-jab position has got them banned off of YouTube. So now they're experiencing the cancel culture themselves as they're part of cancel culture. And as we start to move in this process, you're starting to see the left unwinding. All their control positions are starting to fall apart. But it still goes to sentiment. And one of the critical aspects of sentiment is to swing the sentiment. It has to swing well past 50%. It really needs to be at about 70% sentiment in favor of where you want to go for you to be really effective. Now, this is me giving you kind of my eyes view on this whole thing. We are headed into a storm. I don't know what that storm is going to look like, other than the fact that they're pulling the threads on this thing and pulling it apart, and have been for the last 7 months or so. Now, Arizona just announced tonight that its audit won't be available for 8 weeks, which is interesting because I received some intel last night from some well-placed people I trust immensely, that said that this operation was going to wrap up in about 8 weeks. Now, I can't validate that, but I'm just sharing with you what I got. So when I start to look at other indicators, like that came out of the blue tonight, that the Arizona audit won't finish for 8 weeks, and that this thing won't wrap up for about 8 weeks. And then there has been word out there that they're apparently going after 44 right now. That's another piece of intel that came through. I don't know that for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me. And my guess on this is, just in the general narrative of it, is that they need to take care of the structure of this infrastructure, this senior ruling structure, before they make any greater moves. And this is a kind of a typical way of dismantling a network, is you have to start pulling it apart piece by piece, and each one leads to another component until you finally get to the kingpin. But what we have learned about networks, and we learned it very well of all people under General McChrystal, was that when you go about hitting the key head of the network, all you do is you create a promotion program. So if you wipe out the head of a network, they just put somebody else back in. But what you need to do when you dismantle a network is you have to pull apart its subcomponents, and you have to work your way up, kind of from mid-level up, and you leave your lower echelon people to the last. Because some of those you can convert rather than just have to capture, or worse. So my general assessment is that they're moving upwards on this, and they're getting pretty high up. They're probably within a window of about 8 weeks. And that will be a significant event, but I don't think it's going to be an event with all of a sudden everything turns rosy. And I've been saying this, and I just kind of wanted to put this in real physical terms, because when we look across this nation, the number of people that are still asleep and in the world of the matrix is phenomenal to me. The injection has given them a false sense of hope, and they feel free, which is nice and all, except that they're only free having complied with tyranny. Now, from a future of the United States, that's not what I would call a patriot. And though there are many people out here that I'm sure have good hearts and so forth, they have made very poor decisions. And those poor decisions aren't going to go away until they face the truth of what's happened to them. When you follow the five docs, which is led by Dr. Tenpenny, 5Ds plus 2, because there's two others that they use as well, or you follow the frontline doctors, I think you get a fairly consistent picture of all of this, that what we're facing here is on a massive storm, that very potentially we are going to see an unbelievable amount of death in this world and in this country. Now, maybe we won't see 30%. Maybe we won't see the 60%, which is the greatest fear, and it is the greatest concern, I should say. But even if we say we see 500,000 or a million deaths, real deaths, not the COVID deaths where they made them up with numbers and tagged everything as COVID, but real deaths related to this injection, that's a significant blow to society. And as a significant blow to society, it's something that we have to be prepared for as a movement. That movement that we're in has to step up to be greater than we've been. There is going to be a fall, both literally, there is a fall season, And it'll probably time pretty well with a lot of the fall of what we know and what we have known in this culture. All the pieces are lining up. I won't write it in stone to say that's when it's going to happen, but it's definitely heading that direction. And the fall that we're looking at is going to be across the board on pretty much every institution that we know. It's going to be corporations that you're accustomed to working with. It's going to be stores you're accustomed to going to. It's going to be medical systems that are going to go bankrupt. It's going to be governmental systems that have to be turned inside out. Legal systems that have to be dismantled. And while the Patriots are trying to do, and in my opinion, in my assessment, the best they can to stabilize this by creating adjuncts or people that will carry through the bridge of change of regime and resetting the nation, it is my guess that that can only go so far, because at the end of the day, the public needs to witness and endure a collapse of society and face the accountability of allowing a system to run out of control. And I'll be very honest with you, it's something that I actually hope we go through as a nation. Not because I want to see suffering, but we need to force an awakening. And too many people are locked into that place of living in la-la land right now, and they're not facing the reality. And there's nothing like facing the brutal reality of accountability when you start to realize hyperinflation and you start to realize consequences of decisions like taking a jab, that you start to wake up as a world. I hit this history, the one I'm going to say right now, I probably hit this anymore like once a week, and it's not to wear it out, but it's to put things in real perspective. President Trump gave us the clues to where this was going. He mentioned he took hydroxychloroquine. He had mentioned ivermectin. He even brought in the director of science and technology before this whole thing spun out of control to let the people know that when the sun came out, they were safe, that this thing could not endure in the sun and it would be okay. But a large percentage of the population couldn't accept that truth. And what we've witnessed in the process is a real separating of the population from those that are awake and willing to pursue reason and thought and hold strong in their faith, and another side of the population that has frankly never had faith, even though they might have claimed it, and they've allowed fear to consume their life and a willingness to allow the government to rule them and guide them and convince them that they're going to be okay. Those are polar opposites in terms of how a system is run, and they do not match up. Their system does not match up with the constitutional system, which we're part of. Our constitutional system is based on we the people, based on moral law, so we're accountable to God. And as a system, in all things we do, are accountable to God. And that daily accountability on what we do, our actions of what we do in our communities, and holding those that represent us accountable. We are never to blindly follow leadership. That's not how our founding fathers intended. And in fact, if they had intended that, they would not have given us the duty, that's the word they used, in our Declaration of Independence to overthrow a tyrannical government. As we have witnessed over this past 4 years, the willingness of people to really stand up has been minimal. The right has done an amazing job of coming to rallies, of putting emphasis behind a president, of being very loyal to the red, white, and blue, to be very supportive of the military and the police, of building small businesses and continuing to pursue that. But in truth, the right's willingness to take a stand on things has been dismal. And that's a lesson that we have to look at that and be very honest with ourselves. It's hard to mobilize those on the foundation that are rooted in faith and have values that are very connected with the Constitution. It didn't used to be that way. Our early American colonists were very active. They were very pro-liberty. They were very much engaged with the government. But today, it's become just the opposite. The only ones that are engaged in the government is the left. And that's not a good indicator for the future of our nation. This jab piece that we're dealing with, this bioweapon, is potentially going to be devastating. It will shake things up, and it will require that everyone take a stand for truth and demand that truth and accountability be placed into the public sphere. We cannot allow the military to hide behind classified documents to explain what they know, to try to dissuade people from knowing what we need to know. We can't allow political leaders to bury it in committee and do some sort of special research council or whatever they're going to do and pull it away from the public eye. We can't allow leaders and key influencers to sidestep their positions on this injection, whether they've promoted it or not. They have to be accountable to that. If they've been against it, it's one thing. If they've been drawing caution to it, but even if they've been silent, there still needs to be an accountability for that. The VAERS numbers are over 6,000 now. 6,000 people that are now dead. And that number just continues. That numbers are continuing to grow. We have people that are affected by the vaccine at 358,379, and 38,000 of those in addition from the J&J shot. So we are in a place right now that these numbers are real, and people that don't want to speak out against this, I'm questioning why a lot. Because the real fight, when we keep putting people towards looking at the election, counting votes is a small part of what's going on here. And though others may not agree because they want to see this as stopping a coup, when I hear people say you need to get involved and get voting, my next question is, who's going to be alive to do it if we don't stop the vax? And it's a critical piece that sits before us. And I've said this, and I will say this very candidly. If this turns out that the vax is not deadly, that all the things that we're seeing under the microscope and all the research that's going on ends up embedding a false flag that was generated in such a way that to make people just wake up and nobody actually dies, that'll be a good celebration, and it'll be a good thing to be wrong on. But until we know that for certain, we can't make up stories, and the fact is that what we're facing is a very critical crisis that can potentially wipe out 30 to 60% of the people that were injected. Those numbers will cause a complete fall in our society. And that's where we have to start really looking seriously at what's happening here. That means that, and I'm speaking not just to the amazing base that's here to talk to, but encouraging that each and every one of you challenge the other Patriot accounts and the other speakers to start being vocal on this topic and to start getting real about it. If people are discounting these ideas, and I have had people tell me recently that they just don't want to believe it because it's too severe. Well, sometimes we have to face the reality that things are as bad as they seem. Because until we get to that place, we're not going to be able to deal with what's coming. One of the pieces that makes it very vulnerable is if you start to lose 30% of your population, even 10% of your population, that's a destabilizing event at an astronomic level. Jobs that go vacant that will include strategic pieces that we need. It won't take long before you start affecting key basic industries like transportation, trucking. It affects supply chains, manufacturing of critical items, or farming for critical food. And if we don't go in prepared for this, it's going to be a disruption that will cascade and leave the society in total chaos. Again, there's another myth that comes with that the military will come in and fix it all. There's not enough. Let me give you a little story here and put things in perspective. I was part of the team that started what's called the Mega Cities Program. In fact, there's a video out on the web somewhere you can find on the military's video, Megacity's video. You'll hear my voice. I did that video for the military. And this analysis was how would the military operate? How would the Army and the military as a whole operate in what are called megacities? Now, New York's a megacity. LA's a megacity. Mexico City is a megacity. It's basically 10 million and above. And we don't have a ton of megacities here. There's a lot in China, though. I think they have like 6 or 8 megacities in China. Because the entire model that they were trying to build was to consolidate people in the cities. But when you take a city and you start to lose people within the infrastructure of a city, and then you have to operate militarily to stabilize it, the bottom line was that what the conclusion was that there weren't enough people in our military to deal with megacities on a successful rate. It was going to take an enormous amount of technology and advancements in the way we do things, tactics and procedures, to be able to operate or even to not just but basically just to operate in a megacity. That doesn't even account for stabilizing. Stability operations is an entirely different concept. What we're talking about here in the United States is not going to be offensive military operations. If this thing unravels, it's going to be stability operations. How to stabilize, how to get food to people, how to get supply chains working again, how to get water flowing again. There is a very naive perspective in our public of what the military is capable of doing. It can do a lot of things. It's a great military. But at the end of the day, the only way this is going to fix itself is us. Us. We are the plan. We've always been the plan. So, as we sit on this cusp of change, and it is a significant cusp of change, and we are at a significant moment, we have to reflect very deeply on where our role is and what our intent is. Whatever goes forward, in order for us to rebuild, the old has to fall. It's that simple. You can't have the two running parallel. It's acid and water. It's literally anti-Christ-driven versus Christ-driven. And it's that simple. And I'm not talking about the specific anti-Christ, but the model of what they do is anti-Christ on one side and Christ on the other. And those two things can't coexist. And so we have to really start putting our head towards the idea of what Andrew Torba has said, which is we need to revive this world by establishing a Christian economy. I agree with that 100%. Well, people don't always like that because it sounds too controlling for some. We all know that's not true. But it's a completely different way of thinking when we start talking about building a Christian economy. And there's a level of accountability, and all accountability ultimately goes to God, and that sort of accountability lines up very nicely with how our country was designed from the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution. So we have to start putting our thoughts towards that end. Now, and that means our way we act, the way we do, the way we perform, our accountability to ourselves, to God, and to our community has to be geared in that direction towards being prepared for the fall and what we are going to do as we move through it, because we want to revive this world in the basis of "In God We Trust" as a true set of terms, not just some tagline on our money, and to be able to stand on the rock of faith. That's not going to be an easy walk. And in the midst of watching this all fall, and we're also going to be put into a unique place of having to be in the Lord's army, which is that we have to, one hand, look after ourselves and to make a direction shift of where we want this world to go. And equally, we have to be focused on being the shepherds for the many that are going to be lost. In a very simple terms, and I think this is the easiest way to say it, while I have no respect for how the left worships, the fact of the matter is that whether they are atheist or whether they go to the other extreme of worshiping some Luciferian god or some spirituality, whatever they're doing, their world is about ready to fall apart along with ours. Every one of us is going to be challenged. The difference is that we have a rock to stand on. And that rock comes through us with the love of Jesus Christ in our heart. It gives us strength where nobody else has strength. It gives us an ability to endure the storm when nobody else can. And that means that what we're going to witness are a lot of very lost and panicked souls. We need to have our understanding and our foundation of where we're headed and be very clear, because we are becoming very rapidly the new shepherds. We are the remnant and we are the hope for humanity. And as the sentiment grows, which is where I was beginning this, the sentiment is shifting towards that awakening and away from the left's control. And at some point, those triggers are going to be flipped that bring the old system to the ground, and the new system will rise up. And it will be on us to lead and guide that new system with the way that we choose to live, emphasizing those values and principles in God and country, to reset this country, because it's on our shoulders. It's not on the military's. What they're doing is basically taking the icing off the cake, but we still have the cake to fix, and that's us. The recipe is bad. The whole cake needs to be thrown out, and we need to bake a new one. Now, in that process, there's going to be a lot of people, many of them with good intent, others not, but they're going to be lost, seeking, and without understanding of where they're going to go, because their world, the what they worship, everything they counted on, is falling apart. And that's a very critical piece to appreciate, because it doesn't matter whether we agree with it or not. It matters the fact that what they believe, the foundations that they are standing on, are crumbling underneath them faster than they can get a footing. And that's where our role becomes extremely important. Our role is greater than just building a new economy. Our role is shepherding all of God's children in a direction that they can find hope and ultimately salvation. That's not an easy walk, and it's not going to be an easy demand on any of us, especially when you're dealing with people that are angry, scared. It's like dealing with somebody who's drowning in the water. You can't grab onto them if they're flailing, because they will take you down. But being that good neighbor of engaging and letting them know you're there, but keeping a distance, is important. You have to let them seek it out, but we have to be there. We have to be prepared to help in many different ways. One of the most principal ways that we're going to do this is spirituality, helping them reach and find God in their path. Now, as a final note on this, and I want to just address in this principle of the fall, and we know that by the numbers that we're looking at, this could be a draconian hell on earth with the number of people that potentially could die. And I've given this a lot of thought today, and I want to present this to all of us here, because we understand this principle that perhaps on the other side they don't appreciate. And this is the higher road. When we talk about moving a mountain from here to there, that's a perspective of faith and the power that we have to transform the world before us with enough faith and prayer and relationship to God. We frequently take that example in terms of the challenges that we are faced in our individual lives. But I'm going to challenge us all to take another view of this. And that is to let go of our frustration, to let go of our disappointments, to let go of our angers, to let go of everything, and to simply put our faith in God and the hope in God that we can be healed and literally move a mountain from here to there and not lose anybody. In the back of my mind, even when I say that, the word accountability is smacking me in the back of the head, because I believe absolutely that everyone has to be accountable for decisions. But I sure as heck don't want to see 30% of the population dead, even if they made a bad choice. It is time that we rise to being the true children of God. It is time that we rise from the fall to be the true leaders of this next world. It is time that we embrace the true sense of what we are. We have Christ within us. All we have to do is accept that gift And if we accept that gift and we put our prayers to it as far as healing, we can transform this world and God will give it to us. But we have to be committed to that. If we keep hanging on to the numbers, the 30%, the 60%, it may very well be. But this is where I think the real is. God doesn't just want a remnant to save itself. God needs the remnant to help save as many of his children as we can. And when we take that position, it becomes the selfless walk that God would expect of us. We're already here. We already have the relationship with God that we need. We just need to build it stronger. But there are many yet that haven't discovered it or who have lost their way. And so it's time for us to step into the bigger shoes. And in stepping into those bigger shoes, it's time for us to pray for the healing of this world, and the healing of those who made bad choices, and let God deal with accountability and justice, because God will. But our role isn't justice. That's God's. Our role is to bring the flock home. We are the shepherds of this new world, and we need to start walking that path. That's a difficult one. But it's the one that God would ask us to do, I truly believe. And it's one of the reasons I think we are here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed in this time to be here in this time and place. And as difficult as it is, Lord, and it has been a difficult walk, we continue to awaken and lift our eyes to the realization that we have a bigger role before us than perhaps we ever imagined. A role to take and lead this world to its next step. We know that whatever you've asked of us and wherever you've put us, we know that you know more than we do what we're capable of. And that you will put things on our plate that may not seem possible to us, but that you know that we can achieve. So Lord, we come to you this evening, humbled, blessed by all that has been given, blessed that's all been sacrificed for us to be here. And we pray for the healing of this nation and the healing of the many that have just made bad choices. We know very well what those choices are. We know very well the consequences of bad decisions. But we also understand very well that our role is to help bring them home, back to you, and to trust in you for all that comes. So Lord, we ask for that strength. We ask for that clarity in that walk. We ask for that unity between us to find the common ground of prayer, supplication, healing, and that power of walking with Christ in our life in such a way that we truly can transform this world and move a mountain from here to there. We are facing a mountain, Lord, as you know, a mountain of potential massive death. A mountain that could have been avoided had good decisions made and people stayed close to you. That said, let us find the forgiveness in our heart. Let us lead these back to you and let us in the process awaken their hearts to the power of love that you bring. And in so doing, Lord, let them be healed. And let us heal this nation and let us heal this world. And we say these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. A challenging walk before us, a fall before the fall, and then from there we rise. And we must rise greater than we've ever been, each and every one of us. We must each step into that place of being part of the next step of humanity. We must be the shepherds, and in so being the shepherds, that means we must take care of the flock. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers are the foundation and that builds our rock in our relationship with God. He is with us, he'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. So have a blessed evening. I'll see you in a bit for Fishers of Men or until the next time. Thank you. And out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.